blues and gore, and sometimes a little more. My Bloody Podcast.
Oh my gourd, ladies and gentlemen. I am so excited today, for it is our 50th episode of My Bloody Podcast. And all I have to say about that, it is groovy. If that gives you any indication of what we're talking about today. Oh my God, it's 50. This podcast is 50 weeks old. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Almost a year old, which maybe by days it might be a year already, but 50 episodes of monumental. So we are doing Army of Darkness today, my favorite movie of all time, and I'm going to tell you about it. Oh, of course, I'm going to tell you all about why it is the best movie ever made. But first, I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com and HighDefDigest.com, and I am joined by the most groovy, the fabulous, the man with one hand that uses a chainsaw to get his writing and things done for him in the movie biz. Preston!
Among other things.
Among other things. Preston Botta, how are you?
I'm doing quite swell. I'm excited to, you know, give you the reins to go wild with this movie, since you allowed me to do that last week with Reanimator.
Reanimator and Army of Darkness, just so good. And interestingly enough, Preston and I are going to see John Wick 3 tonight, and I just hope that Army of Darkness shows up in John Wick 3 by way of chainsaw of some sort. It makes sense to me, but, you know, it just makes sense. But that is our show. We're 50. Can you believe we've done 50 episodes?
Hell no, not at all.
It's unbelievably cool, and I'm glad we're still doing it. And it's so much fun every week. We love it. But before we get into Army of Darkness, bloody questions and bloody recommendations, we got a bit of horror news for you. Preston, what good horror news do we have today?
There's a trio of trailers that have come out within the past week. One today, and the one today, well, actually, two of them came out today, but the big one that we're going to talk about is, of course, It Chapter 2, that was released at 11 a.m. this morning, and Brian and I both watched it, and it looks fantastic.
No, it looks so good, and like, if you've read the book, there's so much crazy shit and disturbing stuff in this book and in this trailer, which I love, because they kind of just kind of show one scene. They don't give anything away, but this scene, you're just like, oh, I remember this from the book. And it's going to be so gross, because you have no idea what's happening in this scene. And oh my goodness, I'm so excited. It was so creepy and scary. And I forgot how much I missed Pennywise.
Yeah. I love it when trailers highlight one scene to kind of just put you in the mood of the film. And I also love that the imagery of this scene, one of the spookiest images to me, and it works so well in movies like The Shining and It Follows and Hereditary, is creepy old people who are naked.
Yes.
And so, obviously, this is a, you know, PG-rated trailer, but the way that it, like, works around the scene, I mean, you can tell that this old lady in the scene is naked, but whenever they, like, kind of pause or, like, act otherworldly, like this old lady in, at the beginning of this trailer does, it really gets underneath your skin. And, yeah, like you said, the rest of the trailer is just kind of like a teaser trailer, just kind of giving you flashes of images, and which is a good way to go. Like, I don't really necessarily need to watch another trailer for this film, just because I'm like, yes, everybody looks great together. It's nice to see James McAvoy. It's nice to see Jessica Chastain and Bill Hader. And man, what a great cast. Can't wait.
And it looks like they did a perfect job, at least from the trailer, of, you know, segueing from the kids to the adults here and there.
Yeah. It's cool when movies like treat memory like it really works. And so, yeah, just seeing them like going back to the town, kind of reminiscing about the old times and how they may achieve beating Pennywise again all these years later. Yeah, it's going to be exciting stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. I can't wait to watch the trailer again.
Yeah, especially that one shot of Pennywise, or it could be somebody else, like maybe made to look like the makeup of Pennywise when it was like pulling down the face and you can like see the layers of skin kind of coming back.
Yes, that was super cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, there's another trailer you have up on there called The Lodge, and it's an American-British horror film, and I'm looking that it has Alicia Silverstone in it.
Yeah, and Riley Coe, but it's directed by the same people that did Goodnight Mommy.
Oh, I actually like that movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it the first time. I think I've mentioned it before on here when I saw it at Fantastic Fest, which I believe was my first like secret screening experience at Fantastic Fest, where I was just building it up so much, and James Cole Clay, who was next to me, we were like, "What the hell is this?" And we could not figure it out the entire time, and it just kind of ruined my experience because I had no idea what it was until I got out of it. And so it took like maybe watching it again to appreciate it. But I'm also kind of tired of the whole like Fight Club twist kind of thing. But I really enjoyed like the sibling relationship in the film, and The Lodge seems like kind of like a sibling to that film, because it also kind of deals with siblings together who are trapped, not really trapped, but they're stuck in or snowed in at this lodge, this like remote holiday village, with their stepmom, soon to be stepmom. And it's played by Riley Coe.
Who is the granddaughter of Elvis Presley.
Yes. Like her and Alicia Silverstone look so much alike. I'm like, wait, who's the lead here? But I believe it's Riley Coe. Richard Armitage. How do you say his name?
Richard Armitage. Theon Oakenshield from the Dwarf King from the Hobbit. Yes.
Yeah. So good cast. And what's cool about this trailer, and I was warned against watching it by James Cole Clay, because he went to some special screening at the Alamo Draft House and they played it, but maybe it was a different cut. I don't know. But I don't think there's anything too spoilery about this trailer, but because it just kind of shows you images and dread and anticipation of weird stuff and dark stuff that's about to unfold. You don't really get a glimpse as to what's going on, but the basic story is just this family, minus the dad who's away, being trapped in this lodge, and then crazy things begin to happen. We never get to see like what is actually about to harm them or threatening them. So the trailer just kind of shows you reactions and anticipation. And so the way that it feels and the way that it's shot, it looks like something like Hereditary or something that Ari Aster would do. It has this kind of cool, calculated kind of look with good lighting. And so this is probably like one of those like really big horror movies that we'll probably be talking about for the rest of the year. And I believe it played at Sundance and it got good reactions out of there. Some people, you know, kind of building up like Sundance tends to do with horror movies, saying like, this is like the next Witch and a game changing horror film. So maybe tone down your expectations a little bit and just let this movie be a good movie. But the hype is pretty high. So, let's see if it's actually going to be good. So I believe it's coming out later this year, probably around August or something like that.
Cool.
And Neon is putting it out.
Looking forward to it. And then there's one more, which interestingly enough has Hilary Swank and Rose Byrne, called I Am Mother, which is it like Mother, your favorite movie of that year?
Yeah, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I found out that Netflix picked this up, or maybe they picked it up pretty quickly after Sundance, and I'm just now hearing about it. But yeah, this movie is kind of similar in tone, like maybe like a cross between like Ex Machina meets like Moon.
It's got
like this it's got a sci-fi element, which is Rose Byrne plays this robot that kind of looks like those doorbells that now have cameras on them.
Mm-hmm.
So think like, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey, HAL kind of thing, but moves around kind of like the robot in Moon as well. And so the robot's mission, as far as we know, is to repopulate or just like create humanity again. And so we, in the beginning of the trailer, we see like these little embryos or just, you know, like test tube babies. And so the Rose Byrne's robot character brings one out and raises her. Through probably when she's like 17 or so, and then bumps into Hilary Swank's character, who's outside this domain that they've been living in, that this girl's been living in her entire life. And then Hilary Swank's character says, everything of what you've been told by this Rose Byrne's robot character is a lie. And so it kind of becomes like this, well, I've known this person or known this thing my entire life. How can I trust you as a stranger? And so just like a whole thing of deception. So it seems like a lot of fun. It also looks like it's shot really well, has really cool effects, but it has that kind of small, like low-key kind of sci-fi feel to it that makes movies like Ex Machina and Moon so exceptional. So it has that kind of tone. So yeah, it's going to be out on Netflix in early June, June 7th, I believe. And so yeah, I'm also excited about that one as well.
Yeah, sounds kind of like a space horror thing in Netflix style. I like it.
Yeah, I really like what Netflix is doing. I mentioned previously about The Perfection, which is coming out later this month. So I believe we're going to probably do an episode on that once we both see it together.
Or cool. You see it, Brian. Yes, yes. All right, those are the trailers, I believe, since we're moving on to another bit of news, which, of course, we haven't talked about Child's Play this week.
Gotta bring it up. Like we're gonna like start like sniffing for things to talk about with Child's Play, like maybe next week if they don't have anything, and be like, they released we noticed this thing in the poster or something. I don't know.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
So yeah, there's this so as we've said, the remake of Child's Play where Mark Hamill is the voice of Chucky, that's coming out June 21st. They released on social media this new promo that says Sleep Tight from the producers of It Comes, a modern reimagining of the horror classic. And if you click on and you watch the clip, and it's just like a kind of like an animated poster kind of thing, you can hear Mark Hamill finally laugh as Chucky. At the end of the trailer that was released not too long ago, we got a taste of his voice where he says, good night, Andy, or something along those lines. And then here we get that same line of dialogue, but we get his laugh. And as you probably would expect from a Mark Hamill kind of sinister laugh, it does feel very close to the Joker, which he was the voice of the Joker for the animated series. But there's it like kind of starts off sounding like the Joker, but then he puts like takes a little sharp turn with it. So you could watch the little clip and you'll understand what I'm talking about, where it kind of goes high like the Joker and then it just drops a little bit. So it feels close, but it's also doing something different. So I can't wait to hear, I guess, see the full frontal version of this laugh and see what it looks like in the movie, in the context of the movie. So sounds good, but also kind of what I expected from a Mark Hamill Chucky performance.
Yeah, jokery, or maybe a little bit even more sinister. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm just genuinely curious if they're gonna feature his voice a lot throughout the trailer, or if it's gonna be kind of like sprinkled throughout and not be an overkill or anything like that. Kind of work with the, you know, again, anticipation, like building that dread, building that fear, if they're going to be doing something like that, where maybe just letting his mechanics and the way that he thinks and the way that he operates kind of be more of the scary element than his voice. So I don't know. I'm very curious.
Cool, cool. Mark Hamill Chucky. We'll be back next week with more Chucky news for sure.
Yes.
Onwards and upwards and inwards to some Disney horror-ness, right? Disney horror.
Yes.
Films?
I believe I talked about this before. And me and Brian have been wanting like a superhero movie or something that's like really hot right now, which is the superhero genre, to kind of, or Star Wars. To kind of take a horror approach. And I've known about this movie for a while now because it's been done for a little bit, but it just has not quite come out yet. And that is, I guess it would be like X-Men Presents the New Mutants.
Correct.
So there is like a trailer out online. You can watch it. I think it actually came out like last year because the movie, I think the date has been pushed back and back. I think it last year was supposed to come out like August, never happened. And then now, or at least about a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even before that, about a week ago, it was set to come out this August in 2019. But now that Disney has acquired the rights to Fox, Marvel, the X-Men universe, they have complete control over the releases now. And so a lot of stuff is being shifted around because Disney already has a lot of stuff that in the pipeline that they want to just put all their focus into because they had complete creative control of those properties, such as, you know, Endgame and Star Wars and Spider-Man with Sony involved. But now Avatar has been pushed back another year. So it's just funny that a lot of the stuff that's being shifted around has been stuff that's been shifted around already. So I think Avatar is now the second Avatar is going to come out in 2021. It'll also share that kind of Star Wars Avatar date, which is like late December. So, and then we also heard that Star Wars is going to have three more movies coming out every other year. Don't really know what they are. They're untitled at the moment. So it's just going to be, you're either going to have a Star Wars movie or an Avatar movie for the next 5 to 8 years. And so back to the mutants, the New Mutants. I was really excited about this because this is one of those films that deals with superheroes and being more of like a scary version of it, almost like Nightmare on Elm Street, kind of hallucinogenic kind of feel to it. And it has Anya Taylor-Joy in it, and I believe one of the guys from Stranger Things. And so I was pretty pumped about this. It's been a while since I've seen the trailer, but I remember it being something that that I'm excited about. But now it's going to be pushed to next year, and so I don't see that being concrete either. I don't even know if this movie is even going to happen or if it's just going to be dumped to I don't know, Disney Plus or Hulu, since Disney owns both of those things. So I guess we'll report when we have more things to report on. But yeah, New Mutants. If you haven't heard of it, check out the trailer online and and then be pissed that it's not coming out anytime soon.
There you go. Just you gotta wait. This next bit of news that we have, I don't know what to think about it. Okay, so Hellraiser is a fantastic movie franchise. I like all of them. Yes, I like all of them. I mean, of course, the first two are the best, but there's going to be a Hellraiser remake, and David S. Goyer is set to make it. And if you go look, David S. Goyer, he's done some really good shit and some really terrible shit. So I don't know where I stand on this. Like, on one hand, Freddy vs. Jason and Blade 1 and 2 and Batman Begins and Dark Knight. But on the other hand, Ghost Rider 2 and Batman v. Superman.
Yeah, well, it seems like when he's working with good people and he's collaborating with good people, he can create good stuff. But maybe when he, because this seems like for Hellraiser, it seems like he's has a vision from A to B versus something like he's a hired gun kind of situation. So it could be good if he, because he's expressed in a recent interview that he's a big fan and has known Clive Barker for a long time, that he wants to bring a new imagining or reimagining of the franchise back to the screen. It could be like maybe you should have higher hopes for this situation. But full disclosure, I am not a fan of the Hellraiser movies. Don't like the first one at all.
What?
I'm not a big Clive Barker fan
either. Have you
seen
it? Have you seen the first one? When did you see the first one?
A couple years ago. I was pretty bored by it.
Oh, my God. We got to watch it again.
No. Haley, my wife and I went to I guess it was like probably two Halloweens ago. We rented or bought them from Half Price Books, like cheap DVD, and watched it. And I just was not a fan. We both could not get into it. So, sir, you would have to pay me to watch it again. But maybe I'll try it once again before this movie comes out, because I'm sure they'll probably do some sort of like 4K kind of release closer to when this movie releases. So maybe I'll give it another shot then, but I'm not a fan. And so this excites me more than watching the original again. So come hunt me with your spikes or your pinheads. And but also, yeah, don't do that.
We're gonna convince Preston that Hellraiser is good, because Hellraiser is goddamn amazing. 1, 2, and I will say 3, but Preston.
I can't remember the sequels as well. I don't know. I've heard from some people they get better, and just because it has more Pinhead. And then I've heard from other people that the first one's the best one. But yeah, I just not a fan.
We're going to make you a fan. But Hellraiser, David Goyer will figure that out as time goes on. Right now I'm excited. I love Hellraiser, so I'm in. Plus, Hellraiser 2 has a fantastic soundtrack. So I guess the last bit of news before we move on to bloody questions. Is this a home video news? The collector? Or are you? You're the collector for sure.
Yeah, I'm the actual collector of stuff, but I'm not as into the collector films, but a lot of people are, and so I guess since there was the movie, the 2012 movie, or no, 2009 movie, The Collector, and
right.
Then we had the continuation with The Collection,
okay.
In 2012.
My mind went to The Bone Collector, but it's not the same movie.
No, you know the poster of that
yes.
guy wearing that gimp mask? And,
yes, I do remember now.
Yeah, so, there's going to be a third one out pretty soon, so... Have you seen either The Collector or The Collection?
I saw The Collector. I never saw The Collection that I can remember.
See, that goes to show you that maybe it is not as special as many people think.
There you go.
But yeah, if you are into that series, yeah, there's the collection, whatever it's going to be called. I guess the collector three, and it'll have like a three in the title somewhere to work with the E. So expect that.
There you go. I like it. I like it a lot. Does that conclude our news section?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess I should say real quickly, I did not get to go to Texas Frightmare weekend this year. I did stop by on Friday, but I have discovered through their new system that I forgot to register my wristband. I guess because registration happened around the same time as South by Southwest, and so I just thought that I did it. And so when I got there, I found out the hard way that I did not, and there's nothing that could be done. But I got a little appetizer of like what the environment was, but unfortunately I didn't get to go into the rooms where they have all the goodies and everything. But I did see quite a few costumes of people lined up to get their badges, and it broke my heart a little bit that I didn't get to experience it. So I tried to push it aside because I had a pretty crowded or busy weekend last weekend with one of our friends, Brian, having a wedding celebration. And so I had a Ranger game and things like that. And so I try to put it aside, but then, you know, I follow a lot of stuff on social media and saw people posting pictures and all the cool poster art and everything like that. So for my birthday, I'm going to put aside a little bit of money to buy one of these Reanimator posters that one of my favorite artists right now, Gary Polin, who most people know as Ghoulish Gary, created. And so I'm going to get that. But yeah, it was a bit of a bummer that I didn't get to experience it, but I did get to go to that Reanimator screening. So I'm feeling content. So I'm trying to make myself feel happier than I really am.
When Preston said he didn't get to go because he fucked up the registration, yes. In my mind, I heard out loud the Price is Right. Do, do, do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that. It is good stuff.
So I'll make sure next year that I get it right.
To register. So, yes, let's move on.
I feel like the raid in Hateful Eight when he's like, next time we're gonna get it right, we're gonna ride Fool Begow.
Yes, I like it. So. Bloody question time. We had a fun one, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it has to be connected to Army of Darkness somehow. So this was your creation. Take it away.
Our bloody question. We'll ask a horror movie question. We'll answer it. We'll bring it to Reddit and our fantastic audience out in Reddit will give us some really funny ideas. We'll mention them on the show. But the question this week, in honor of Army of Darkness: if Bruce Campbell's Ash from Army of Darkness swallowed the juice, spoke the wrong words again, what other movie would you want him to be trapped in, and what would he be doing there? So basically, he swallowed the juice, said the words again, the wrong words, and, you know, his time travel in place got fucked up. What movie would he be in? What movie would he be in? I think it was so fun. Should I go first?
Yeah, because mine's pretty simple, and I think you could probably guess what I'd pick.
Oh, let's see here. I'm trying to think. I don't know yet, but I'll read you mine. Have you read mine yet?
I haven't read yours, so okay. This will be fun to hear. Okay. I'm sure it's going to be very elaborate.
Okay, so if I could do this, I would get Ash into the original Howard the Duck film. I would be most happy about this. They would have basically arrived the same way, you know, through the portal and fallen down into the thing. They would team up as a buddy cop film, basically, and they would try to take out the dark overlords of the universe. Plus, both Howard the Duck and Ash and the crazy fun Tim Robbins in the movie would make a triple threat of comedy and partners trying to take out everybody. And then in addition to that, Ash could shred in Howard the Duck's band. But I think that would be the movie I would want to see him in. That would Howard the Duck and Bruce Campbell. I think that would be amazing. They're both one-liners would be great. And having like maybe a three-way with what's her name? Leah Thompson would be great. Oh, I just, this is what I want. I like this.
Very cool.
So, Preston, what do you have?
Well, I have two in mind, but the one that just because it's almost my answer for a lot of things is, of course, Reanimator. But just because I like the idea of Ash getting the challenge of trying to kill something and then Herbert West just being in the background, just injecting it back to life and him being like, what the fuck? So there's that. But I think also I would like to see Ash dropped into Mad Max Fury Road, just because I feel like his whole aesthetic fits quite well with the world that George Miller has created. And so I would like to see him function in that world, and if he would work his way to be kind of have like a spoiler alert for Endgame, like a Thor and Peter Quill kind of moment where they kind of fight to be leaders, and then Ash being like, of course you're the leader. But yeah, I don't know, I would like that sort of scenario to happen.
No, I like that, and I like where you went with that, because Bruce Campbell's character in Army of Darkness is very different than the first two movies, but we'll get to that. Yes. For sure. So yes. Moving on to, oh no, wait. Yeah, we got to read our Reddit things. Perfect. Yeah, we went to
the
Reddit.
Good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff, the actual good stuff. Okay. The answers from Reddit, of course. If Ash from Army of Darkness swallowed the juice, spoke the wrong words, and ended up in another movie, trapped there, what would he be doing? Jason Myers 17 said the Pokemon universe infected with deadites would be cool. Ash could literally team up with Ash, which I don't get that, but that sounds fun. Movie Mike 007, who's talked, who's given us some great suggestions over the time. We love you, Mike. Movie Mike 007. Ash takes his nephew to Camp Crystal Lake. Things go wrong. Ash teams up with Vampire Hunter Blade. So there that is. Gura Faringo says Bill and Ted's bogus battle with Evil Dead. So
I'm down with that.
That sounds good. Totally, too, dude. Two series that started in '80s, grounded in '80s nostalgia and time travel. Plus, Ash would work perfectly having two strong but unintelligent sidekicks to kick Evil's ass. And I can see Bill and Ted looking up to Ash as some sort of god of awesome. So there you go. And then the Dead Sea said, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, of course. Who doesn't want to see an epic showdown between Ash and Leatherface?
Yeah.
I think that is pretty cool as well. And then Crisis 37 just said, hell itself, he would destroy. And that was it for this one. Not too many, but a few good ones. I like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Bill and Ted the most, I think.
Yeah. Nobody said, what's the Nicolas Cage movie I fucking hate?
Oh, Mandy?
Yeah, Mandy.
You should like that movie too. Nope. So, and then nobody said like Sleepless in Seattle or You've Got Mail, which probably would have been awesome.
Just drop them in and then the movie's over real quick.
So good. So good.
Like even them dropped into like Thor Ragnarok, or him dropped into Thor Ragnarok or Guardians of the Galaxy would be gold.
That would be great. Oh my. I mean, why aren't we seeing this right now? That's a good idea. All right. Moving on to my bloody recommendations, where we suggest a forgotten horror gem or a new one that we want you to watch and see and know about. So, Preston, have at it.
Okay. So this movie just dropped on Netflix, I think Friday or very within the past week. And it's one that we've brought up before, and I've always been wondering when the hell it was finally going to come out, when I was going to see it. But it's finally out there for me to see and for you to see, and it's called Death House. And Brian, do you remember this one? It's like the Avengers kind of thing with everybody, like every actor, horror actor that you've ever loved. Oh, yeah,
it was like Expendables, right?
Yeah. By the way, or I guess it's kind of like more of a, you know, the scene in Cabin in the Woods when the very end where it's just like all chaos happens and yes. Then all the creatures are. So that's essentially what this is, but more of like a Escape from New York kind of thing, or first Resident Evil movie, or Deep Blue Sea, where they're inside this secret prison that has like 9 levels, yes. And then it only gets more chaotic as people go down. But I was so stoked for this. I knew from the trailer that was out there that it was going to have this kind of cheap kind of quality to it, that it would have all these actors in it, but not necessarily be – it would look like After Effects, if you're familiar with that program, where it just like everything looks kind of cheaply done. And it is. It very much is. And it bothered me a little – bothered me a lot. But when else are you going to – build to see the likes of horror legends such as Tony Todd, Sid Haig, and Barbara Crampton,
Felisa Rose,
Mosley, yes. Dee Wallace. I mean, we can go on, but so many. And Kane Hodder, he has a pretty big part in the film. He's like the main bad guy. So it's just kind of cool seeing him. Without a mask on, covered in the Jason makeup or the Hatchet films. So, yeah, a lot of great people in it. A lot of those great people that you know aren't really in the movie as much as you would want them to. It's kind of like, hey, we have this really cool idea. We'd like for you to pop up for like a minute or so during this part. But each of those like horror actors that you would know, like Sid Haig and Tony Todd, they like make it count. It's creepy when they pop up, especially really like, I really like Tony Todd's appearance in the film. He kind of like bookends the film in a way, but Dee Wallace probably has one of the bigger parts in the film. And so does Courtney Palm. She was in some movies that I really like. I have a crush on her. She's a pretty good looking lady, but she was in Zombievers, I can't remember what was the other one. Sushi Girl. Yeah, Sushi Girl, the one with Mark Hamill and Tony Todd in it.
Oh yes.
The sole reason of why I recommend this is because I really dig the premise of. Just think Arkham Asylum kind of thing, and then it gets out and they need to control the chaos, but there's all this like supernatural elements to it, which I wish they had dialed back a bit, and the way that they shot it wasn't too impressive because so much of the film is dark because it's like underground, you know, them going further and further down the levels, and but it has this kind of like Freddy versus Jason kind of quality to it in terms of the music and this kind of like heavy metal kind of feel that I appreciated. So it's like a soft recommendation, but I just like the concept enough, and I like seeing all these actors together taking up the space on screen again, and you'll recognize so many people in it, like even what's her name from Jenna from Kiss FM or the Kid Craddock show, like has a scene that she's in. And so I don't know, it's just kind of strange seeing like all these like even local people in the Dallas area pop up. So I don't know. I was just happy that it's out there and people can check it out, but don't expect like the best stuff out of it. But there's some really haunting imagery in the film. One in particular that makes the movie really worth checking out. And I really hope the clip like pops up somewhere, but there's like this moment where it's like these exoskeleton kind of creatures or with people without flesh on them. And they look like something that you would see pop up for a second in a movie like Hereditary or The Descent or something like that, where they probably spent the majority of their budget on this scene. It also kind of looks like if you saw the most recent Blair Witch movie, like when you finally see the witch for like a brief second, like it looks really creepy. And so this one, you spend like a little bit more time with it, but the way that the lighting is, it's like flashlights, swinging lights, that sort of thing. That scene is pretty incredible from a visual standpoint. So yeah, there's good stuff in it. Just maybe not, it doesn't knock it out of the park or anything like that. It's kind of like a, hey guys, let's watch a shitty horror movie with all these great actors in it. And on that note, it does deliver.
There you go. Death House. Death House on Netflix now.
Yes.
Cool. That's yeah. Just. It's I'm trying to remember. I want to say that I've seen it, but maybe I haven't. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I remember there was like opportunities for us to see it a while ago. I think when it finally was going to have some sort of theatrical run or VOD run, but it was just a very short window and it closed too quickly, and so it just wasn't going to happen. So yeah, I'm glad that it's out there for people to see now.
Cool. That is Preston's bloody recommendation for episode 50. Mine goes in line with Army of Darkness. My bloody recommendation is from 2007. Well, actually premiered in 2007. Actually didn't, was not released until 2008. And the movie is called My Name is Bruce. It is directed by Bruce Campbell and produced by Bruce Campbell and stars Bruce Campbell. Did you see this, Preston? You there, Preston?
I have, no, I've never seen it.
All right. So My Name is Bruce is a super fun, hilarious, ridiculous, over the top, silly, cheap movie. Dark Horse Entertainment. Dark Horse is the comic book company. They were in Image Entertainment, were in line with the production of this film. But basically, the movie is about a kid, like a young guy who's a huge fan of Bruce Campbell. And Bruce Campbell plays himself in the movie. So at some point, at the start of the film, this young man has his friend, and they're going on a date with two girls named Debbie to a cemetery. They accidentally unleash a deadite, like this Chinese god of the dead, basically, and this demon kills everybody except for the original young man. His name's Jeff. So what does he do? He seeks out the help of Bruce Campbell, thinking that Bruce Campbell is actually the guy from Evil Dead who can defeat demons, and kind of like kidnaps him to help fight this demon. All the while, Bruce Campbell is making this real shitty sci-fi movie and thinks by being kidnapped, he actually thinks he's going to his surprise birthday party. So that's basically the thing of the film. And there's like cameos throughout of Ivan Raimi and Ellen Sandweiss from Evil Dead. And Ted Raimi are in there as well. And there's like a running gag through the whole movie where they're in this town. And when somebody gets killed, Ted Raimi marks off the population number. It's pretty good. But this movie
does the car make a cameo?
Yes, it does. The car does make a cameo. that is in there. It is a super fun film in the vein of, like, it's so silly and over the top. You know, there's gore in it and stuff like that. I mean, it's nowhere near, like, a quality Evil Dead film by any means. But the movie is fun, and it's fun to see, like, Bruce Campbell kind of playing himself, a version of himself. And just some kids like, I think Bruce Campbell's actually the real Ash character. Let's have him fight a real demon. And just Bruce Campbell can't do it. It's really funny. So, it's called My Name is Bruce. Super fun. They were trying to do a sequel to it, but it hasn't happened yet. But you can find it on Blu-ray for sure. But it's called My Name is Bruce. It's a fun film, you know. It's a short 85-minute long movie, so I think you'll like it. If you like Bruce Campbell. If you don't like Bruce Campbell, you won't like this. But if you love Bruce Campbell, it's classic Bruce Campbell. So that is my recommendation. But we shall move on to the My Bloody Podcast 50th episode feature presentation, Army of Darkness, right?
Correct.
Oh my, what to say about this? I've always said this, people ask me, you know, as I, you know, when you're in the business of, you know, film criticism and in the movie business, you get asked a lot by your peers and your friends and family, what's your favorite movie? And without a doubt, since 1993, Army of Darkness, I am not afraid to admit that. I do think that this is the best film ever made, and I will tell you why.
And please do.
I will. So this movie premiered in October 9th, 1992 at a film festival, but then came out right around Valentine's Day in 1993. And it was made for $11 million, and it ended up making over $25 million. It was directed by Sam Raimi, produced by Rob Taffert, written by Sam and Ivan, and stars Bruce Campbell and M. Beth Davids, amongst others. And of course, of note, the cinematography by the amazing Bill Pope. But Army of Darkness is the third film in the Evil Dead franchise, Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2, and then Evil Dead 3, otherwise known as Army of Darkness or Bruce Campbell vs. Army of Darkness. So, to give you a little bit of background on this, the first time I saw this was late 1993, after the film came out in theaters. I remember the trailers being shown, but I remember seeing it on VHS at home from the video store. My friend said, oh, this movie's so good. I watched it and it blew my mind. Like, this movie was everything I had wanted in a movie up until then. Just everything about it. So after I watched that, I had like, oh, there's two other movies? I had no idea about Evil Dead 1 and 2. I mean, I was 12 years old at the time, or 11. And this movie spoke to me in every single way possible. And of course, I got to figure out Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2 were not as good, but just as almost as good as Army of Darkness. So, Army of Darkness, where to begin? My expectations. I had no expectations. I just heard it was good. And then I watched it. Did it meet my expectations? For basically 30 years later, yes, it still meets my expectations. I watch it quite a bit throughout every year, and it's gotten to the point where I can, like, quote every line in the movie. I know exactly what happens, and it's almost like watching it for the first time every time because I love it so much. And before we move on, Preston, I just want to know from you, Army of Darkness, please. Do you like this movie?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's... You know, last week when I talked about Ryan Turek at the Reanimator screening, talking about security blanket films for horror movies, going along with Reanimator and Return of the Living Dead, and Army of Darkness is definitely one of those for me that you can just kind of put on. And it is not laundry folding kind of movie, but just because it just demands your attention the entire time. But it is one of those movies that I can just kind of put on the background, just enjoy while I'm cooking or actually folding laundry. But it's a movie I've seen quite a bit and quite enjoy a lot, especially the director's cut that Scream Factory put out on disc. And so Yeah, I enjoy this film. I think the first time I saw it was also when I was very young. It was a couple of years after it came out. Also saw it on VHS when I was going to the video store and getting things. And I Evil Dead 2 was the first one I saw. And then I saw Army of Darkness. And then I saw Evil Dead. So, yeah, my relationship with it goes pretty way back. And it's only my love for it's only grown since then, especially after the Ash versus Evil Dead series.
Yeah, I know. It's so good. It is the perfect movie. We'll get into it. So to talk about like a little about what Army of Darkness is about, I got to go back to Evil Dead. So back in 1981, Sam Raimi made a movie with his friends for like $300,000. And what we got was Evil Dead, which was two couples, and one of the guys in the couple was Bruce Campbell, and his young sister came along. They go to a cabin for the weekend to have a good time, for a little romance, a little fun, some eating. And then all of a sudden, they awaken the Book of the Dead, the Deadites. They come out, and they possess the living. The only way to kill them is by bodily dismemberment. So Bruce Campbell is the sole survivor in this movie. Well, you know, in the very end of that film, he might or may not survive. But a few years later, Evil Dead 2 came out in 1986, and it was kind of basically a remake with a little bit more money. Sam Raimi got $3 million to make it, and it still starred Bruce Campbell, and it was the same story, just a little bigger budget. But instead of going a balls-out horror gory movie, I mean, Evil Dead 2 is gory, but Sam Raimi added his Three Stooges humor into it, because Three Stooges were a big thing to Sam Raimi. So he added this whole comedic element that made it really silly to watch, but also scary at the same time. So, kind of the same film where couples go to the cabin, they unlock the dead, stuff like that. So, at the end of this film, they open up a portal to send the evil back in time so it will no longer be around. But they brought it back in a big way, baby. And the car that Bruce Campbell drives and Bruce Campbell himself are transported to are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. You might want to re-say what you just said for about 20 seconds. It cut out. I don't know if it'll pop up on your thing or not.
All right. Yeah, I don't think it popped up. I'm still recording. It hasn't stopped. So I'm sorry that happened. But yeah, hard cut. All right. Here we go. All right. So with Evil Dead 2, they end up in this portal of time, which is great. They send back the demons and the deadites and all the evil back into a time portal, which happens to bring the car, the classic car that Bruce Campbell drives, and Bruce Campbell himself, complete with his chopped off hand, because the evil got inside of his hand. He had to lop it off with a chainsaw, and then he created a chainsaw hand that he can control and moves and kills things. So they're in medieval times, and that's how the second movie ends. And it's kind of like a prophecy sort of thing, where that somebody from another known time is going to come save the medieval times from this evil. And that's where Evil Dead comes in, because this movie came out in 1997. And then it just seems like from fan service and people wanting to do it, Universal Pictures, Dino De Laurentiis, and Renaissance gave Sam Raimi $11 million to make this amazing film, which is super cool if you think about all that great stuff. $11 million to make a crazy B movie. And again, it stars Bruce Campbell, done by Sam Raimi and Rob Taffert and everybody else that was a part of the original film. So this one takes place right in the medieval times. It gives you a recap. And basically, Bruce Campbell is from, you know, 1993. He works at a Kmart-type place, but it's called S-Mart, and he works in housewares. And he's transported to medieval times where the evil has gotten out, and he's supposed to save it. But, of course, Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell, he's just kind of an idiot, and he fucks it up. And it brings back the evil in a much bigger way. So does he leave to go back to his time, or does he stay and help? Well, he helps out. So that's basically what this movie is about. But in my summation of this movie, why I think it's so great, there's so many reasons, but this movie, this franchise, is about just your average Joe, just a guy who's just trying to get along in life. You know, he wants to be good at what he does. He works kind of like a blue-collar job. And he just basically shit on the entire time by friends and demons, and is constantly getting tortured by them, but he's always there to save the day. And he, for some reason, he does save the day. And it's great to see him be like that. But in the first two films, Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2, he doesn't have any confidence, really. It's not until the very, very last part, like the last 5 minutes of Evil Dead 2, where he kind of gains his confidence. But before that, he's just kind of like, I don't think we should do this. And he runs away or something else. But in Army of Darkness, he's put back in the medieval times, and he is the cockiest bastard ever. And is just, he treats everybody like shit, and it's really funny to watch him do it. Is that weird for me to say?
No, not at all, because I wholeheartedly agree. I enjoy all his banter and all the him getting tortured, like the Revenant kind of style, where it's just it's like, it's almost like two different kind of ideas, where you have like Leo from Wolf of Wall Street and Leo from The Revenant, where in The Revenant, he's just getting constantly tortured the entire time, beat up by a bear. And you're like, dude, just somebody give this guy a break. And then because to see how many times Bruce Campbell gets slapped in the face or punched in the face by a skeleton or what have you, he's screaming for like 60% of the movie. But the movie takes its time and has all those like signature Sam Raimi kind of Three Stooges moments that you're talking about that makes it even out to be a very enjoyable film.
No, it is. And so that's another reason this movie works so well and is the perfect movie, because Army of Darkness actually genuinely has very frightening and scary moments and huge, great action scenes that are filmed with Sam Raimi's unique style of like the real fast close-ups or something like following an arrow into somebody. And
yeah, like he did the whole Edgar Wright stuff before Edgar Wright.
Yes, and Edgar Wright owes a lot of his stuff to Sam Raimi, because Sam Raimi did this perfect editing and camera shots that nobody had done before in Evil Dead 1 and 2, and especially in Army of Darkness, that worked very well with the music.
Yeah, it's strange that, like, if how many movies I've seen where they shoot, like, complete I'm gonna say chaos again because that's the only word I can think of. When shit hits the fan and like there's like a fight sequence going on, like between Ash and the she beast or whatever he calls her, the bitch.
Yes, she bitch.
She bitch, which makes sense. That whole sequence is one of my favorite shot moments in the entire film, because It's like the way that the camera moves, they could use a stuntman for Bruce Campbell, and you wouldn't know, but because of all the magic and camera trickery that they do, it almost has like the strange movement of like a Transformers movie, but you can actually understand and comprehend what is going on. Versus something when Michael Bay shoots it, you're like, it's just all shit.
Yes.
And I have no idea what's going on. But Sam Raimi's so gifted at shooting an action scene and bringing that sort of technique that I actually was talking about a couple of weeks ago with Nemesis, where they'll show like an arrow going and then you're getting the perspective of the arrow, and in Nemesis it's the bullet. And so yeah, it's crazy that it can just have that much fun, that much one-liners, all that scary, truly scary moments, and all those kind of moments where it's like very playful and light, such as when they show what happens when they fight off against the witch, when the first guy falls into that pit and just sprays that blood everywhere, but the blood isn't like dark red,
it's like a bright red, pink, orange, and there's so much of it that it's like hilarious.
Yeah, it's so much that when Ash actually falls into the pit himself, it's nowhere to be found.
Right, yeah, it's not in there, and then it attacks him, and then he just punches it in the face. And then like they have like a Three Stooges like eye gouge scene, you know, and then in that same pit, Bruce Campbell uses his chainsaw to chainsaw off the hand of somebody, and the hand goes flying straight up onto an old man's mouth, and everybody laughs at it like it's covering his mouth. And it's just, it's like stuff like that, but it doesn't
mixed
take you
with all that like good camera stuff. So it makes it like it's like imagining a bunch of different filmmakers bringing all their individual strengths to it, yet it all completely functions as one unit.
It does. And just like going back to Sam Raimi using that camera, it's just like, you know, forcing the camera to move up Bruce Campbell's body and then to the shotgun, then to his mouth to say, "Yoshi bitch, let's go." And it's just like, it's so perfectly timed and well delivered that it's just like, it always gets like, yes, you stand up and cheer for these lines and these camera angles and shots, and it's just so much fun. So in addition to this film, you have these moments, but then you also have like Sam Raimi's wink and love towards other films. So there's a part in the film where Bruce Campbell sees a shadow, or not a shadow, his mirror reflection. He breaks the mirror because he thinks the reflection is going to get him, because that happened in Evil Dead 2, but he breaks the mirror into shards and all these like little miniature Bruce Campbells come out and start attacking the real Bruce Campbell. And it's really funny. And there's like a lot of things they do with that. Like he wants to swallow hot boiling water to kill them if they get inside his stomach. And then there's the whole separation of Ash actually grows an evil part of himself out of his own body. And oh, it's so good. Even the action scenes with sword play and the chainsaws and his boomstick, it's unbelievably good. And there's even a montage sequence when he's taking his car, his 1973 Oldsmobile Delta 88, and building it to run and have a giant propeller to slice up people with. And there's a montage of that building the Death Coaster is what they call it. And that song, The March of the Dead, is done by Danny Elfman, actually, which is really cool. So what I think this movie brings is it brings adventure, horror, comedy, and actual romance to it, along with really good one-liners and action set pieces, and just pretty much practical effects everywhere, and a great score. And you can say what you will about the acting, but the acting is simply perfect in this role, because Bruce Campbell is basically being himself. And then you have all these amazing actors surrounding him, like M. Beth Davids, who was in Schindler's List. The same year. And Bridget Fonda was in the film, you know, albeit like a very small role where she kind of doesn't have a line. But tons of great people are in this movie, and it really is a culmination of every aspect of filmmaking and storytelling and fun all rolled into one, that no movie has ever gotten it that right as they did Army of Darkness. Like there is not like all the planets aligned and had everything you ever wanted to be entertained in a movie all in one film in the span of 80, 8 minutes or 80 minutes, depending on which version you watch. And I really believe that till this day. Like, there's nothing as much fun as Army of Darkness. And Preston, that is why this is the best movie ever made.
Well, you certainly make a great argument.
When you look at it, you can see all these great movies like 2001 Space Odyssey, The Shining, Annie Hall, all this stuff. But when you put all the stuff you actually want in a movie together, you know, this movie really does it. It has it. And it actually has a pretty, you know, decent message, because Bruce Campbell, you know, doesn't want to fight, but then he realizes, yeah, he has to be the hero everybody makes him out to be, and he does the right thing, even though if he's like a dick about it. And it's just, oh, it's just so good. Just, it's, you won't see anything like it. And luckily, they always talked for years about doing a sequel to this film, and they always said no. But luckily, instead of a sequel movie, we got like 10 sequels. We got an entire TV show for 3 seasons. Based off of this show, or these movies called Ash vs. Evil Dead. And they're great. They don't go into Army of Darkness territory really, but they're so good. They're great. There was a stage play made after this movie in the Evil Dead. There's just tons of stuff, and it's become like a cult fan favorite. There's nothing bad about this movie. And even if there's something bad about this movie, where you can see like the string of like a monster, it's all part of the fun in it.
Yeah. I call it, I think I've said it before, like a shit stained charm.
Yes.
Exactly what you said. Even if you could, if you were a new critic and never seen this film, never been, enveloped in such a world that blends comedy and horror into one bloody cocktail, you could sit there and pull apart different aspects of the film. But for anybody who's been involved in this sort of stuff before, like the Evil Dead movies and Evil Dead 2, and then getting into this one, I think you can just recognize moments where it can be technically bad, but yet you love it so much because everything functions so well in this universe that they've created. So if anybody's like overacting, or if Bruce Campbell's hamming it up, it's so fitting for the film that they're trying to create. So everything works, even if it is bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And I would have to say, this is the one movie that I've owned the most over the years. I have pretty much purchased every single edition from VHS all the way up to Blu-ray. Even the bootleg editions, the director's cuts and everything, because there are alternate endings here in some of these, because one of the big alternate endings they filmed was, instead of Bruce Campbell going back to his time, he ends up in an alternate timeline, because when he said the words wrong, and that basically the world has collapsed. Like
Tim Burton Planet of the Apes kind of ending.
Yes, it is an homage to that, actually, to Planet of the Apes, and the world is gone. I mean, it's in destruction, apocalypse, and he's like, no, and like they actually spent money on it. But you can find that in some of the director's cuts or alternate endings. But this movie has been out so many times, and you can, there's been numerous comic adaptations of it with Bruce Campbell versus Reanimator, and Bruce Campbell versus Freddy and Jason, and Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness. There's tons to do. There's video games, there's role-playing games, and of course, there is the Scream Factory version, the collector's edition of Army of Darkness, which has tons of stuff.
And the Steelbook.
Yes, and Steelbook. There's not been a 4K yet, but hopefully soon. And then on top of that, if you get any of these Blu-rays, you're going to want to listen to the audio commentaries with Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi, because it is legendary. They're some of the best commentaries out there, because they are so funny to watch with. and have them talk about these movies together. They just have a good time doing it. So, yeah, Army of Darkness, is unarguably the best movie ever made, because, and still is today, because like Preston said and I said, it all perfectly fit into this one film, and you know, everything that happened perfectly and flawlessly in this movie. And whenever you watch it, you have a smile on your face, like, God damn, that was a great scene. You don't see that anymore. So, yes, Army of Darkness, excellent.
Until we see John Wick 3 tonight.
Until we see John Wick 3, Bruce Campbell will make an appearance, hopefully, and then it'll be my favorite movie from now on. So, yeah, that is Army of Darkness. Is there anything else we should say about Army of Darkness?
No, it was a damn good breakdown, Brian.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And please go buy Army of Darkness. Watch it. You don't have to watch Evil Dead 1 or 2 before you watch it. They do give you a recap at the beginning of the movie. So, yes, just watch this.
So I assume that you like the director's cut the most?
So, honestly, I like the theatrical cut the most.
Interesting.
Because the director's cut goes a little slower. And I actually like the theatrical cut with the ending, because I love seeing him going back to his time but still being dead people there, deadites. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, the sad ending of the whole world's gone to shit.
See, I'm a very sad person, so I like the director's cut.
No, I like the director's cut.
I just like really. I like doomed ending kind of feels in films.
No, I just can't. Give me some sugar, baby. In my own way, totally. I am king. And he rips off the fucking shirt, and he's in the. And I'm like, yes, Bruce Campbell, you're my love of life. Yes, I love Bruce Campbell so much. So buy this movie, watch this movie. It's so good. You will love it, because you're thinking like, oh, it's horror and all this stuff. Like, no, it's fantastic. It's better than you're thinking. So, yes, Army of Darkness. And I think that wraps up our 50th episode. Preston, congrats. Yay.
Yay.
50 episodes. This is too cool. I always love doing the show with you. Yes. So 50 episodes. Here's to another 50 more. We are My Bloody Podcast, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com and HighDefDigest.com. And you could see all Blu-ray reviews, movie reviews, and HD gear reviews on those respective sites, as well as we have an Instagram account, My Bloody Podcast, and we now officially have a subreddit on reddit.com called My Bloody Podcast. All you got to do is type in reddit.com/r/ My Bloody Podcast, and we will be updating everything on there as well. So we're excited. And Preston is all over the internet's talking about horror and movies and good things, and of course steelbooks. Preston, mm-hmm. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Preston Barta, last name Barta, and I write for freshfiction.tv, where I'm the features editor. Got some new stuff on there as always, and along with material from other writers. And you can also find me on DENTON, RC.com, Denton Record Chronicle, where I have my latest reviews and theatrical reviews, Blu-ray reviews, interviews, all those views. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
There you go. And we'll be back next week with some more horror goodness. But until then, Army of Darkness, and be groovy.